Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. I am coming at you live. We have a great show tonight. We are going to be talking about Daredevil, Iron Fist getting canceled, Luke Cage getting canceled. What's the future of the Marvel U? We're going to talk Daredevil Season 3. We're also going to talk with Richard Hamilton, the writer of How to Train Your Dragon graphic novel adaptions and DreamWorks guy. He's been doing a whole lot of cool things. He's got his own graphic novel scoop. And we're going to go spinning the racks to bring you the most fantastical pop culture news out there.
Fantastical is not a word.
It is tonight. I am your host, Michael Dolce, and as always, I am joined by...
Lord of the Radio.
Lord of the Radio, Mr. Hassan Godwin.
Or.
How you doing, sir? Are you feeling...
That's a, you know, let's not start with...
That's a good
with,
term?
Let's not start with existential questions. let's just get right to the news. Let's not talk about that.
All right. Well,
how are you doing? How are you?
I am tired. I am actually legitimately tired.
There's never a good way to answer that question.
I have another child who is awesome, and she's sleeping and she's wonderful, but she has disrupted older child.
You're obligated to say she's awesome.
No.
She
really is. She's just beautiful. She just sits there. She makes all these little funny noises and she's great. She really is. She's 100% great. Mm. The issue is that she has disrupted my oldest child's routine. And okay. So now I am not sleeping. So everyone's like, oh, you're not getting any sleep, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no. I'm not, but not for the reason that you think. So it's amazing how that kind of works. But.
Yeah, it does. You're not selling it.
Enough about
me. I'm not getting into that.
Well, no. There's nothing to get into. All right. Where do we begin? I mean, we got a lot of really great, interesting things. I thought we would begin... Before we get into Daredevil Season 3, which is really what we want to get into, I figured we'd get into the state of the Marvel Netflix U, because last week we talked about Iron Fist getting canceled.
Yeah.
Season 3 hits, Luke Cage gets canceled, and Daredevil is like being released to acclaim at the same time. Like, all this stuff is happening.
And you have, like, a theory, right? Didn't you have, like, some kind of theory of how you feel that this is all going down? Which was, like, controversy, and then, like, the car over, you were like, I got an idea, but I'm not going to tell you because
I told you, I'm not getting sleep, so I'm not exactly sure.
So you don't even remember
was.
What you're...
That theory...
It sounded so in-depth and intricate, and now it seems like all that was...
What did you ask me to get me to that theory?
You had like an idea of what Netflix was doing, like the whole point was about this.
Oh, well, and, I mean, all right, we can go through a couple different theories and then we'll get to mine. The couple different theories is that it's just all a ploy to get the Luke Cage, Heroes for Hire show.
Yeah. Together. So a lot of people.
I think people are optimistically fanciful. And I don't think that's really the case.
Yeah, that's a flight of fancy. I think those shows are gone.
I really do. I actually really do as well, too. We just talked about it backstage
in
our green room. Which, by the way, to be a part of our green room.
Sam needs to paint the green room green.
Become an executive producer. Go to patreon.com/secretsofthesire. We're brought to you by all of our beloved patrons. We have a new fan. We have a new one, Craig Caruso.
Ooh, he's a superhero.
He's a new patron.
His
Welcome
name
aboard.
Is alliterated. He's a superhero.
We have dedicated fans, Ionar Peterson, Matt Beyer, Ashley Haikai, our program director, Stephanie Dolce, our executive producer, Steve Ovecki, Brian Phillips, and Christina Gillen, and as always, our Uber fan, Christina Dolce. So thank you for being there. But why, if I'm Netflix, why am I building up the Disney streaming service at this point? You know?
Yeah. I don't know what anybody's doing at this point. Why, if you had a whole bunch of shows on another network, right?
Yeah.
Would you say, I'm building my own network so that I could put all my content on? As soon as my network's built, I'm taking all the content off of that other network.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it on mine. So thanks for building up my product.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's smart. It's really smart.
It's smart in behavior and practice. It's not smart in announcing.
Right.
That's what your plan is.
Right, exactly. You know? I agree with you.
You should have launched your network and then suddenly just pulled your product so that Netflix wouldn't be able to sully all of your product by canceling it.
Right.
So now you have like the sloppy seconds
of
Netflix.
I know. And that's the thing. People are definitely people are upset because, I mean, you have cliffhangers at the end of Iron Fist. Iron Fist was not necessarily season one the best well-received show, but I season
still
two,
haven't seen it. I
think turn the corner.
Okay.
Luke Cage. Now, according to this, all right, so I found some articles. Hollywood Reporter suggests that
he found articles.
A source tells Hollywood Reporter the cancellation was due to creative differences.
Creative differences.
And the inability to agree to terms for a third season.
Very
of the
nebulous.
Show.
What does that even mean? Creative differences between whom? Between Netflix and Disney?
Yeah.
Between the executives of Netflix and the showrunners of Luke Cage?
I mean, Mike Coulter's under contract. The showrunner's under contract. Like, they're all under contract for a season three. So
yeah, but
they are being paid to not do stuff.
But
now.
I think those contracts are null and void once they get canceled.
You know what? No. If it's a guaranteed contract, it's a guaranteed
contract.
But there's
no. But I mean, you wouldn't sign. You wouldn't initiate a guarantee of something if you're not getting your. So, like in other words, it has to reach a particular projected.
If that's in the contract,
right? Well, that's
if
usually
that's
the contract that
yes.
they give
if
you.
If that's in the contract, right? If
that's
in the contract,
that's a network. That's
yeah.
a standard network contract.
Well, that's different. But I'm just saying, if they're contracted to be there for season three. And it's not in there. If season three does not get produced, they don't get paid. That's in the contract. Okay, if it's in the contract, they do.
Yeah.
Then they do. Right.
I mean, perhaps I don't. We honestly don't know.
And
which
I don't think our audience really cares about that either. I think
and then we won't talk about that.
No, I'm just saying with the, I don't think they need us to dissect the contract details that we obviously don't.
Very
have.
Possible. Very possible.
All right. So there's three left, right? I mean, now we have Daredevil. Jessica Jones, and this literally just popped up on our radar.
And Punisher.
In the green room.
Daredevil,
right, yeah.
Jessica Jones, and Punisher, to name the three that
yeah.
you just said.
This
but,
article
okay.
from comicbook.com actually literally just popped up. Daredevil showrunner doesn't know if series will return for fourth season. Despite
that's
the third
prelude.
Season premiering less than a week ago.
That's like when Trump tells everybody that you're a great help and you're a great asset to his cabinet, and then like a week later,
a week
that
later,
guy's gone.
Like, yeah, the guy's gone.
That's
right.
like the kiss of death. So, like, if the showrunner's like, I don't know if we're coming back, that means they're probably not coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah. While speaking with IndieWire about the cancellation of Iron Fist, Daredevil showrunner expressed uncertainty. I don't know what the future holds in terms of Netflix and Marvel and the new Disney streaming service and all that. I'm not really privy. That's above my pay grade. At the time of my
That's
life, I
answer.
Had so much fun. If you talk to anybody in the cast and crew,
was
season
that
three was a very pleasant experience for all of us, and we're very proud. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll get to do it again.
Was that
He's
Stephen
hopeful.
DeKnight?
This was no. He's not the showrunner anymore. It's Eric Olson.
Ah, sorry. I was just clarifying for that.
The series ended. We won't go into that because we don't want to spoil it. It's only been out
the
for
Godzilla.
A week.
Godzilla showed up.
Yeah, which we didn't think was going to happen.
No,
it
was
really
I was
crazy.
Completely floored.
Really crazy.
Spoiler. Sorry.
Before we get into Daredevil season three reviews, which we will get into, I want to hear your take because you binged it all in like one night, right?
I did.
That's amazing. At your age, your extended age, that's amazing. I can't believe you did it.
I'm going to punch you right in your forehead.
We got some great new drops tonight. I want to do a little game. I want to do a little play the percentages.
I don't want to play a game. Why is it always a game? These games
life
always
is a game.
These games never
life,
work out
life,
for me.
Life is a game. No,
life
this
is a
is
game.
An easy one.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Life is a punishment.
I want to hear a percentage. Out of 100%, what are the odds that this is going to actually happen? And if you can't come up with something... Yeah. I'll give you a percentage and you go over or under, okay?
All right, so I don't even understand percentages, simple. So this is going to be a complete lose for me.
What are the odds Daredevil gets a fourth season? Over under 50%?
I'd say it is at 50.
It's a push.
It's at 50. Yeah.
I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah.
Over under push.
Huh? Yeah.
That's the name
okay,
of the game.
Okay, I'd say 49%.
That's the name of the game.
It's under 50. It's
Chris,
49%.
Where's Chris Alpha Intern? That's put it down. Over under push. That's it. That's the name of the game. All right. You're saying under 50% now or push? Where
I say
at?
Push.
I stopped pushing
at 50.
After you pushed.
Push
at
50.
Amazing. All right.
All right, fine. So, yeah, that's why I adapt.
Odds
push at 50.
The Punisher's second season even comes out. Now, they
over,
filmed it.
Over 50.
Okay. I gave it, I set the benchmark at 80%. Over 80% or under 80%?
I'd say it's around 80. I'd say
it's
you could give it 80. I would actually say it's at 90.
You think it's nice? So
it's
over.
It's done.
80%,
it's a done
yeah.
deal. Everybody's paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like.
But
the money's already spent.
But
might
what
as well
we just
recoup.
Talked about though. Why, if you're Netflix, would you build up someone else's network?
Because
see, that's where I got the 20% from.
But
I was like, you know what?
Netflix has a certain amount of exposure on it, so they have to protect their own investment. At this point, they're not going to go any further than that. But I mean, they did this in particular.
If they
faith.
Were to come out though and be like, "Well, it's not our fault."
No, Netflix is not going to do that. You know why? Because that would automatically make Disney the good guys. Because they'd be like, oh, fine, now we have to put it on our streaming service. Now you have to come to us if you want to see this.
I could, if Netflix could, I bet you they could spin it in a way that is beneficial toward them and anti-Disney. They could definitely spin it that way,
but I think if the enthusiasm to see it is there, that's still going to drive people. Why wouldn't Netflix take the ratings?
Yeah.
You know, from Disney, and then cancel it right after it to besmirch yet another series of Disney's.
Yeah, Sam Hager was not happy at all about whatever we were just talking about.
Sammy Hagar from Van Halen.
Hey, he's on there. He's
that's awesome.
There's some FNBS.
That's awesome. He's listening.
He's
to
double
us.
Binging. He's double binging for us. That's good. All right, over under. I get you the next one, which is pretty good. Odds: Jessica Jones season 3 begins filming.
I thought it started already. I thought it began filming already.
I don't think season 3 was confirmed, but it has not started filming yet.
I had heard that it was filming already. Okay,
we're gonna go 50% benchmark, right?
Yeah. So
no push.
I say under.
I think it's under too.
Yeah, it's under.
Like
under 50.
Like don't
yeah.
you like that was the first thing you said to me too when you sent me the link last week on Friday. You're like, is this thing crumbling now?
Yeah, that's
is this thing starting to crumble?
And you said no.
Well,
you,
okay.
You, in fact, that was in I think turn, your exact reaction was, pshaw.
Yes.
You fool. Why do I even talk to you?
We were talking about something we were going to bring up in Spin the Racks, and I said pshaw to that, but not to the Netflix stuff. The Netflix stuff.
And for the record, if you had actually said pshaw, that would have been fantastic.
That's a win right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that would have been like, all right, you win that's now. That's yours. Game. That's Dolce's.
Understood.
Round Dolce.
All right. Odds, Luke Cage and Iron Fist return in their own show together.
Under.
30% is my benchmark. What do you think? Over or under 30%? See, I like that I added the percentage. See, now
push at 30.
You need to push at 30.
Push
oh,
at 30.
Man, you're killing me with these pushes here.
What, man? I think I think it's under. If you're going to go over under 50, that should be the you know.
But 50 makes it easy for you. I'm trying to make this as hard for you as possible.
Why would you want to make it hard?
Because it makes the best radio.
No, it doesn't. Because all I do is whine.
Actually, to be fair, I just missed like the greatest like softball toss anybody could have given me. This is what happens when you don't get sleep. This is it. I'm off my game.
That's your beef.
Man. All right, last one before we go to commercial. Over under seven. Over under that it is the first show on the Disney streaming service. The Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Heroes for Hire.
Under
70%.
Way under 70.
Way under. You don't. You think it's done?
I think it's over, and I think it deserves to be over. But I think all the I think all the Marvel shows kind of deserve to. I think they should call it a wrap.
Would you say you are teasing your opinions on Daredevil season 3?
Which we will. No, I don't think I am.
I think you're teasing. A particular
I'm teasing a perspective on the entire franchise, yeah. But I am not necessarily okay. giving away my opinions of Daredevil 3.
Well, coming up next, Hassan gives his opinions on Daredevil season 3 when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
That's not cool.
Look, that means you're hitting
I
your stride now.
I say funny things every day. And
look, who said 60 is a dead age? You're doing your best work
in
your 60s.
Apparently, we're done talking.
My best work, right there.
I swear to God.
This is where, as a show host, you know to go to commercial at this point.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc and streaming live on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Twitch. And we're everywhere. We're literally everywhere. I feel pretty good about that. We were talking Daredevil
like
season 3, but right before we get into that, I just want to let everyone know. The new edition of The Sire is available on the online store. Go to mikebooks.com/store. Get free shipping. Enter code SIREV2 so all our listeners can get a little free shipping. Check out volume 1. You can do it, and it actually works for anything on the site. I gave
check
no restrictions.
You out.
You know, like, I want to ship these things out. I want people to read them. I also want them to pay my incredibly marked up prices.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Cash.
all right, we were talking Daredevil season 3.
Cash me outside.
Yeah. That's you got that. Is this a return to form or a bigger mess than before? Just a little precursor. Season 2, not as well received because it just felt like there was like so much stuff going on and they crammed a lot into it. And then it was like a lot of forced storylines, especially between Karen and Matt Murdock, where I'm sitting there going, I kind of felt like Foggy and Karen should be kind of more
Foggy
like
Foggy got himself a totally new woman.
I know. So let's go into it. You binged the entire season.
I didn't mean to.
Well, that's good. That means
really
it must have been good. Of you know.
Well, I was working on some stuff, and so I had it on, and then you know just
and then it just sucked you in.
Yeah. Before I looked, I was at episode 11, so like I might as well finish it. In one day. And then I think I informed you of that the next day. I was like, I just watched all this stuff in one day.
So give me the impression. What do we got? What are we feeling?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't know if I can compare it to. I don't really like to compare things to other seasons. Mm-hmm. Like everything is a different thing. I would honestly make it a point to say if it was worse than previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this was worse. I don't know if it's on par with the first one or not. I don't really expect them to be.
Yeah.
You know, I expect them to be, you know, every incarnation is going to be a little different.
Sure.
A little, you know, either it's going to have strengths in some places and weaknesses in some others. But it wasn't a waste of my time. It wasn't like, okay, this series really needs to stop now, you know. So it wasn't that. I will say, whether they played a couple of beats a little off
mm-hmm.
than I would have liked, and I can't really get into specifics of that without spoiling anything.
Try to casually spoil. You know, like I think we can. I think it's been out long enough that you can kind
of. Well, at the end of Defenders, he was dead or theoretically dead.
Right.
Right. They did show at the last scene of Defenders that he wasn't, so that's
right.
Not really a spoiler. But when his two friends find out he's alive, they're kind of like, "Oh, hey, Matt." You know, so it was kind of like it was, and it's spoiler, big spoiler. It's a build up to like 5 episodes before they get an inkling that he's actually alive.
Yeah.
So you go through like 5 like hours worth of, or, you know, theoretical hours of content before you get the, and in theory, the conceit is that's one of the things you're waiting for, is for them all to, you know, for the trio to get back together, right?
Right.
So you go maybe 5 episodes before they actually meet up again.
Right, right.
And then there's like another 4 episodes where they're before they actually are on terms with him that are friendly.
Yeah.
Because they're pissed
that
he took 5 episodes to contact them in the first place. So they played that beat a little off. I thought it was gonna be a little more revelatory that he wasn't dead.
Sure.
And I gotta honestly say, and I'm gonna be in the total minority about this. Vincent D'Onofrio started to drive me crazy after a while.
I feel like they overuse him now.
I like him. I think he's great in that role. I've always liked Vincent D'Onofrio all the way back to Full Metal Jacket. Okay, I think he's I think he's a great actor.
But it's Jennifer Lawrence syndrome, right? It's like you've got this great actor, so you feel you need to use him, and
it's
then after
not only
a while,
that, I think it's the successful way he plays that character, where it's, you know, there's this like pent up energy, but it just starts to get irksome watching him control himself. Like you get tense watching him. Not only that, but at a certain point in the series, he was becoming lethal for the sake of cartoon villain, you know, lethality. You know, it's like some people were getting killed just because he was the kingpin, and
right.
you know that this will is like it got to a Game of Thrones level villainy, you know, where it's like, oh, I'll just kill that one, and I'm just gonna casually shoot that guy in the head, and I'm gonna beat this guy to death in here, and I'm gonna do. And after a while, just like every other Marvel series, when it takes 13 hours for you to get the guy, and there's bodies on the deck every episode, your hero starts to look very ineffective.
Sure.
And you just get by the time the end came along, and there's a controversy as to whether it was a good ending or a bad ending.
Sure.
By the time, like, you know, it's not really a spoiler to say this resolved itself in a hero prevails kind of way, right? By the time Daredevil prevails, you're like, I'm so tired of Kingpin, though, you know,
right?
That it wasn't. I like villains where you're kind of on the fence. Like, I really like when this guy is on camera.
Yeah.
You know, so you're almost towards the end, you're almost pulling for the villain to pull it off just as much as you're pulling for the hero. I will say, honestly, Marvel has the phenomenon where by the time the hero gets to the villain, you're so sick of the villain that you're like, finally, you know, get rid of this guy so that we can move on. So, I mean, the same thing happened with Luke Cage and, I forget the actress's name, but you were so tired of her. But you were like, ugh. Like, all right, enough.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with Jessica Jones, you know? So, especially with the Purple Man, with Kilgrave, it's like, get rid of that guy. There was that. Those were the only two really major things I had with it. I thought the pacing was way better.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like it was dragging on.
I definitely think so too. I think just right from the opening scene, right, you just knew there was a clarity to what they were trying to do in this versus what they've done in season two. And look, season
and
one.
And I love the Sister Maggie character, you know, and everything about her,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I like the relationship between the three of them, the Sister Maggie and the father,
right.
and Matt. I thought Matt was a little annoying because he had an
he
attitude.
He always is, though.
For the,
he
you know,
always
yeah.
is. There's something about him that I don't love. I really
I like
don't.
Him as Matt Murdock. He's better than Affleck as Matt Murdock.
Oh, well, I mean,
but so is Root Canal.
that's not really too hard to do.
That's not really, and the guy's British, so he does a great American accent. Something about his attitude. It's like, oh, come on, dude, you're Daredevil. Like there is a certain kind of level of conceit for a superhero at that level, where when they start to behave petulantly,
mm-hmm.
it's way worse than when a normal character becomes petulant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait a minute, you've taken on the responsibility mm-hmm. to be the hero of the city, right? Mm-hmm. And you've taken on the responsibility of actually saving all these people and fighting these villains. You don't have the luxury of being a jerk, you know,
towards the
only people who are kind of looking out for you. Maybe you want to avoid them because you don't want them to get hurt. Maybe you disagree with them. Maybe they, maybe they're the antagonist and they disagree with you, but you can't be petulant. You know, like, I don't want to talk to you because you lied to me. But you've been lying to everybody.
I know.
How do you take that position? But
I know. I think that's one of the things that, you know, throughout the entire series, though, there's always those moments where you're like between Foggy and Matt where it's like, you know, you just feel like that. And you know, But I agree. I think in this season, I think it wasn't as annoying, I guess.
He was annoying, but he wasn't as annoying. That what the pacing was good. It wasn't. It didn't feel like, well, it's been all right. 13. I mean, like I said, the D'Onofrio thing is real, mm-hmm. and that's an oddity because he was really great in that role. I don't think he was. I don't think he was terrible in that role at all.
Yeah, he's always great in that.
I think he was. I think what the problem was is I think his caliber of acting was just way above everybody else's. So it just was out of place. You know, it just felt like a weird addition. Every time he popped up, it was like a whole different. Like you had to get yourself ready for an entirely different form of storytelling at that point.
What do we think about the villains in this, though? Because that's one of the things that, again, without going into too much detail, because we're trying not to spoil it. If you have to spoil it, though, it's been out for a week. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. The addition of the other villain took a while. And I'm a little ashamed that it took me a while. That's who that is. You know, it took me a minute to figure that out.
Yeah.
He started to get annoying also. I don't know. There's something weird about the way they do their peripheral characters where they actually humanize them a little too much.
Yeah.
They're all, I mean, sympathetic is one thing you want to achieve.
Yeah.
But they all come off as a little pathetic.
Yeah.
You know? And childish, like very immature. So like it's great to like, you know, like, Jack Napier from the 1991, he was a kind of a sympathetic bad guy because of what happened to him. So you kind of understood why he lost his mind, but he didn't stop being a villain.
Yeah.
Like you still wanted him to get beat. I think you can identify with your villain without making them seem pathetic, like wimpy.
Yeah.
Almost like they're very deadly. But they're also kind of like these personalities that you wouldn't want to be near, even if they weren't sociopaths.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to talk to that guy. That guy's a little clingy.
You had asked me, you know, again, back in the green room, go to patreon.com/secrets of the sire, about the fact that his costume, he never really donned his costume the entire season.
Yeah.
That is
one spoiler. How you felt about that.
We will do that. And the funny thing about that, I am probably in the minority here. I actually love that because I have a real problem with seeing superheroes on screen. I'll explain what I mean when we come back. Plus, we've got Richard Hamilton, How to Train Your Dragon, graphic novelist, writer, coming up as well when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talk
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
The initial idea was to replace Daredevil with Michael B. Jordan in season 3. Because rumor, Michael B. Jordan starring in every movie.
He's going to be hosting the show next week.
Is it going to be my co-host?
Yeah, he's going to be Jordan. Hassan,
I would fire you so fast if I could get Michael B. Jordan.
All right, well, there's that solidarity we were talking about.
Cha-ching!
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live everywhere, except on Twitch, which I realize is now a blank screen. I'll figure that out. Always technical difficulties, but we're live on Facebook. We're live on
YouTube.
Now
that you hung the lantern,
we're live on Periscope.
We're not responsible anymore.
This is very true.
You've acknowledged it, so that it's not our problem
anymore. I agree. All right.
That's how you do that.
Let me clarify my statement before we went to commercial.
You're a jerk.
We were talking about at the end of the day. I am. You were asking about the fact that he never dons his costume. I actually, in all of these Marvel Netflix shows, they actually do such a great job of building the characters up and the real world situations. I do love that. Mm. But I think I've just drifted now that all of these comic book movies and comic book TV shows have become reality, that we're actually seeing these on screen. I almost kind of join the Alan Moore theory of, I just kind of like my comic books being my comic books.
Yeah.
And I almost hate it when it gets too superhero-y. I hate it when, like, that Daredevil costume to me just feels like, look, it's not a bad costume, but I just don't feel like someone really would wear that. Yeah. Like, I know they explained it. They did a really nice job of being, well, it's armor and it can protect him. And the guy's like, well, I thought it would be kind of cool. But, like, I just don't feel like someone really would do that. Like, Jessica Jones, when I was watching Jessica Jones, I'm so into it up until the point where she lifts the car up. And this is, like, at the very beginning. I'm like, and it takes me out of the reality of people with supernatural abilities versus superhero abilities. I don't know. There's something about it. Mind you, Marvel movies, I absolutely love them. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Maybe it's because they're up on a big screen versus maybe the intimacy of my own.
I think that's the problem with the shows in general is that, you know, as the opposite of what you're saying, is that they keep running away from the superhero-ish. You know?
They toggle in between. That's the problem.
Yeah, because Punisher was a Punisher for the first episode of that, and then it just became a soap opera after that.
I agree.
And it's got to stop. You know, I agree. That's one of the main problems with these shows.
But, you know, Punisher is a great example of they don't need to do anything with that character on TV that they're not doing in the comic. You know, like in the comic, he's Punisher. Basically, you're going to have a scenario where a bad guy is set up to be a bad guy. There's going to be bad things happening. And eventually, he's just going to become Frank Castle. He's going to kill all of them. And how he kills them is just as much fun.
He's going to Hulk out
and throw everybody into the sun. Just as much fun as the fact that, you know, you're setting up bad people are going to get their comeuppance.
Right.
That's the beauty of
it's
Punisher.
Like a Friday the 13th movie.
That's it. You don't need to do anything crazy. Set up a cool villain. Set up a cool storyline. That's
setting
fine.
Set up all these
but
immoral
the end,
teens to be murdered by
Jason They will be
Voorhees.
Murdered, and you will feel vindication. You'll be excited about it.
And they don't do it.
No, I agree 100%. All right, we're going to curtail that for a bit. We're going to come back in the next segment, and we're going to get a couple of commenters' opinions on this. But I want to welcome our guest. This is a lot of fun to have him on the show because we were in the trenches 12 years ago, Wizard World Chicago, promoting. I was promoting the release of The Sire, and he was promoting Return of the Super Pimps. Mr. Richard Hamilton, how you doing, sir?
Hey guys, hey Mike, how are you?
Doing really, really great. I love kind of getting into the history of all the folks back then that were, you know, Richard reached out to me. Do you remember me? And I was like, of course I remember you. Like we were fighting the good fight. Back in the day.
You're still fighting the good fight.
I've given up. I don't fight anymore. I've conceded.
No.
I've conceded. Just write me a check and do this as quick as possible. But now, I mean, you know, I bring up what where you came from, but now you've gone so much further. It's awesome to kind of see. Give folks at home just a quick, brief overview of the stuff you've been able to be working on, both in comics and in TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. You know, I was self-publishing comics for a while, and that's how I met you, Mike. And then, and it was a blast. I had a great time. And then my wife got pregnant with our first child, and it was time to get a real job.
And I hate those
you know, but
jobs.
My resume was horrible because it just said, you know, comic book publisher / film school graduate. So it was essentially unhirable anywhere. But I thought, well, I can temp because they don't look at your resume that way. And I lived in L.A. I came out here for film school, and that's where I met my wife. And I thought, well, I'll temp at some studios and get my foot in the door and see what happens. And I one of the first places I temped was DreamWorks Animation. And, you know, I was pretty good about not getting fired, and I kind of worked my way up and eventually got a job working for a great, great guy named Bill Damaschke, who's the chief creative officer, and through him I got to work on How to Train Your Dragon 2, and from that I got to write on the How to Train Dragon show on Netflix, and then I got to write some apps and the comic books, and then that led into writing a lot of stuff for Trollhunters, which I also love. So for the past decade almost, I've been working on a lot of DreamWorks properties, mostly Dragons and Trollhunters, a little bit on Trolls, and then we had a project called Boo, which was really cool. It was kind of like, almost like a Ghostbusters kind of thing that mm-hmm. sadly never saw the light of day, but I wrote a ton for that and fell in love with that. And, but, you know, in the meantime, I still was, you know, very much bitten by the comic book bug and always wanted to get back to it and you know, was sort of not self-publishing my own stuff, but trying to pitch to other publishers. And I finally got one of my original stories called Scoop picked up by a publisher called Inside Comics.
Which I finished reading. It was awesome, dude. It was a really good read.
It
was in my stack of books from New York Comic Con, and I got through it in time because I knew you were going to be on. See the timing? See how it's coincidental?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of great comics out there, and so... yeah, it's something I'm proud of. It was based, even though I am not a 14-year-old redheaded Cuban American girl, it is, as far as you know, it is based on my life. And when I was growing up in Miami and I was in college, I had an internship at CNN. And my first day on the job was the day that Johnny Versace was murdered in front of his mansion in South Beach.
I was wondering about
that. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a pretty big deal in Miami and. Kind of across the U.S. It was like the first big story in the 24-hour news cycle after OJ and after the OJ trial.
Sure.
And so I showed up to CNN my first day on the job wearing like a suit and a tie, trying to be very impressive. And 20 minutes into it, all the phones lit up and they found out somebody very important had gotten murdered in South Beach. And they said, go down there, go learn something. So I got to ride the news van and drove down there and got driven right up to a crime scene, which is very grisly and horrible. And I don't mean to make light of it, but that experience had a big impact on me. And, you know, ever since then, I wanted to tell a story that had to do with media and sensationalism, but also kind of conspiracies and behind-the-scenes stuff. And that's where Scoop came from.
Take me through the pitching process, because we come from the self-publishing world, and the self-publishing world is well... if I got to do it, I'm going to do it myself. And there's that kind of like resiliency, but the pitching process, you know, how many publishers did you go through before Insight, you know, finally went? I mean, there's the classic story of Harry Potter, you know, she went to like 20 different publishers and then there was like one guy who happened to be her champion. Is like, yeah, okay, we'll do Harry Potter. And I had a strong feeling. And hey, now it's the biggest, you know, franchise in the world. So there's no shame in saying, you know, we have to go to this publisher. Like, what was the process like to get that going?
Well, I mean, originally I had intended to self-publish it, but it was right around the time when I was starting to work full-time at DreamWorks and my son was less than a year old. And, you know, my productivity took a huge nosedive. But it was for the best reasons in the world, you know? And so then it was kind of became a process of, all right, well, I don't have the bandwidth and I certainly don't have the money or the resources now to self-publish it. So how can I convince somebody else to spend their money on this? How can I make it seem like a slam dunk for them? And there were many, many, you know, kind of dead ends and brick walls that I hit, but I had written some How to Train Your Dragon stuff for Insight Editions. and it's kind of a, you know, sort of reputable book publisher. And then I'd found out that they were going to start, they were going to launch their own line of comics. And I said, hey, I really liked working with you guys on this Dragon thing. I have this idea for this graphic novel. I've been carrying it for a long time. Can I pitch it to you? And, you know, long story somewhat shorter, you know, they agreed to accept it. But the pitch was kind of, it started as like a, just a one-page document.
Mm-hmm.
If I could distill the whole, kind of, not the entire story, but like the feel of it, the tone of it. And you know, if basically I could get the main character, Sophie, if I could get her across, like what her arc is,
mm-hmm.
and kind of what the vibe of the whole story is, that would be maybe enough to hook them, and then I can get them with something else. And that's exactly what happened. So I had this one pager that I wrote, and then I wrote sort of like on spec what the script of the first issue or the first chapter of a graphic novel would be. And then I had written up a lot of sort of character bios and kind of a prospectus about where would the series go in success if we did future volumes. And the idea is that every graphic novel is its own mystery, but there's sort of a larger mystery uniting all of them. And I kind of used Veronica Mars as a good time inspiration and template. So like on Veronica Mars, on one season of the show, there'd be kind of like a large mystery that would unite the whole season. But then there were storylines that would carry over from one season to the other, and I basically just ripped that off for season.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that too, because you know, your background, your comics background, I mean, we were, you know, again in the trenches in like 2006, and
yeah,
you know, giving away our age a little bit too. I mean, we grew up on all the Image stuff. We grew up, you had mentioned Ultraverse to me, you know, as being kind of an inspiration to you. But you know, Scoop is to me, for anybody who hasn't checked it out, they should go check it out, and I'll give you an opportunity to plug it in a little bit. But, like, you know, it's a very contemporary story. It's grounded in reality. I mean, it's everything that graphic novels are now versus what they were 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, it's superheroes and that's it. You know, I mean, are you jonesing to get back to that, you know, to that superhero world? Or do you, I mean, in my opinion, I almost feel like it's past. I almost feel like that time is... Like, the superheroes of today are just so different now, and there's no going back. It's like going back to 90s music. We're not going back to it. I just don't feel like it's coming back. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I was just sort of having a conversation like this with my wife. I mean, like, as somebody who is weaned on comics, I always have a soft spot for superheroes, and yes, I would, you know, go back to it in a New York minute, but I feel like, you know, I don't know. In this more woke world, you know, quote unquote, like superheroes don't necessarily have to be in costumes, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, like Sophie, even though she's a 14-year-old girl, she's incredibly empowered and she's really making a difference in people's lives. And so I treat her as a superhero. And I think even, you know, Kristen Bell, when she announced that they were doing the revival of Veronica Mars on Hulu, was saying that Veronica Mars is a superhero outside of a costume. And so that's the way I see it. So I think, like, there are still superhero stories to be told, mm-hmm. whether or not they have the trappings of the costumes or bat caves and supervillains and, you know, all that. That may be a little more up in the air. But I feel like, you know, at their core, those sort of, like, morality plays, that those stories of good versus evil will never go out of style. And if anything, they're probably more necessary now than they've ever been in decades.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that's me on my soapbox. That's how I feel about it.
Well, real quick, tell everyone where they can find Scoop, and tell everyone where they can find you.
Scoop is available at fine booksellers across the globe, but you can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Barnes & Noble, you can order it directly from Insight Comics or Insight Editions, and you know, the elevator pitch on it is it's Veronica Mars meets X-Files. So if you like either of those shows, if you like comics, if you like YA, if you like me, which I think I really like, maybe my mom, check it out. It's really good. And every comic I've done from when I self-published to today comes with a money-back guarantee. If you read it and don't like it, I will buy it back from you, no questions asked. I mean, don't be a jerk about it. But like, if you read it and legitimately don't like it, it's cool. I'll buy it back. I will say I've never had to buy it back a comic I've written.
Well, yeah. I want to get $5 out of you.
This one's a good one. So, and you can find me. I'm on Facebook at Richard Ashton Hamilton. You can find me on Twitter at Regards Richard.
Well, keep us posted on the next stuff going on, because I do want to drill you as to whether you enjoy writing screenplays or writing comics better. But we'll save that question for a future interview.
Comics are better. Screenplays are better.
Damn it. No, radio. Tease.
Sorry.
Tease.
Oh, no.
Tease.
Yes, to be continued. Cliffhanger. Yeah.
Richard Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we go spinning the racks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Rosario Dawson is just got like...
whoever her agent is.
She's like, put me in everything. Yeah.
But you don't mean everything, do you? No, I do. I mean everything.
I mean everything.
I want to be in someone's birthday cake next week.
That may have been the funniest thing you've ever said.
No.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. I want to thank our guest, Richard Hamilton, again. How to Train Your Dragon writer, Scoop. He's doing some stuff at DreamWorks that he can't talk about, but he'll talk about soon, which is pretty cool. Definitely have him on again. Awesome dude. Again, it's just always exciting anytime someone was in the trenches to see him or her.
To see success.
Yeah, like it's
things,
good.
Things actually work
it's
out
good,
for
you
change.
Know? I just, you know, the other thing, too, and we kind of talked about it near Comic-Con, he and I, it's like there is no path to success in this industry. And he actually had thought by taking a job at DreamWorks was actually like failure at that point, because he's sitting there saying, well, I came here to publish comics and now I'm like temping and now I'm
working
like just,
for Disney.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before he even got there, it was just like, he's like, well, I guess I'm in the sphere of what I want to do. But that to me, you know, when we used to work at Wizard Magazine, that was one of the biggest things that I actually despised. I was interviewing all these people doing what I wanted to be doing. And it was almost punishment in a way. It was almost like, so tell me about all the stuff that you're doing that I wish I was doing.
But obviously that's all just your perception of what it was, because, I mean, he turned it into a success story. So
I feel
so
like
what's
we
wrong
did
with you?
I feel like we did too.
No.
You don't think this is a success? Look at you here. It's a middling podcast. Look how great we're doing. All right. We were talking Daredevil season 3, and I wanted to get a couple little fan reactions before we do this.
We're gonna run out of time. Like acknowledging them.
Daquan Kane, I enjoyed the hell out of it. One of the best seasons of any Marvel series so far. Brian Everham, I think it rivals season 1, maybe slightly better. The villains are great. Omar Morales, actually, we'll go Fabian Nicieza first. One of our favorite guests and show. Creator of Deadpool. Best season yet. I thought episodes 1 through 9 were A+. The last 4, less so. Gets a very high B+ overall from him. Omar Morales, who created The Crusader, who's got actually the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest printed comic book ever done. It's very exciting.
Well done.
I colored some of the pages in there.
Nice,
so it's good.
Nice.
He said, it's okay, a bit predictable. And then I wrote, Marvel Netflix predictable or comic book predictable? And he said, both. Both have a formula and both are in play. You agree with that statement?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know about predictable. Because, I mean, everything, you could claim anything is predictable after you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how much of it I predicted.
I saw the end coming because there was 13 episodes and I knew there was going to be an end coming, right?
Yes,
like that,
yes.
That kind of predictable.
Around episode 13, yeah. I figured they were going to start wrapping it up.
Yeah.
And I predicted that very cleverly. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. Predictable. I don't know what you would call.
Yeah.
It's familiar.
Okay.
It was very familiar, but I don't know if I would call it predictable.
All right. Well, we want to know your thoughts.
Not in a negative like that. You know?
Keep commenting on the Facebook feed, facebook.com/secrets of the sire. We'll be commenting all week long as well, too. YouTube, same thing. If you leave some comments, we're over there. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying to build that up. It's something that we sorely need to do. That's it for Daredevil Season 3. We do this every week. We go spinning the racks, bring you the most fantastic.
Spin the rack.
Wonder Woman 1984 sequel has been pushed back to summer 2020. Gal Gadot made it known that Warner Brothers has officially announced they've pushed back Patty Jenkins' highly anticipated sequel by 7 months. She shared the news on her personal Twitter page. This is according to comicbookmovie.com, although she put it on her Twitter page. We had tremendous success releasing the first Wonder Woman during the summer, so we saw an opportunity to take advantage of the changing competitive landscape we did. The movie lands the film exactly where it belongs. That's kind of like a reshaping of, hey, we need to push you back.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what we always wanted.
We lowered our expectations and it exceeded our lowered expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, the move is fairly strategic as Wonder Woman had immense success the same weekend. But with James Bond 25 shifting to February 2020, Wonder Woman wasn't expected to face much competition in its November date. But now Joaquin Phoenix's Joker opens a month prior. So it appears they didn't want to, you know, bump it up. Kingsman 3 is November 8th next year.
Wow.
Paramount Sonic the Hedgehog, November 8th. Terminator 6, November 15th. My birthday and your birthday, right? No, you're the 14th.
I'm the 16th.
You're the 16th. You're the day after. Rob Felton was my birthday. Okay. Disney's Frozen 2 comes out November 27th. So now, all of a sudden, November next year is like just a huge cluster.
Huge wash.
So,
good for her.
That's the question, though, you said to me. Is it crumbling?
That's because it seems like a lot of their, you know, like things are just being dismounted and displaced and moved around and pushed around. And
I don't think it is. I think
it's not
to fail. But
superheroes are going to need the change. I think the superhero genre is going to last, but only if it can kind of change a little and get into things. One of the problems with the Netflix stuff, which is why I'm not really upset that they're getting canceled, is because we were talking about before.
Yeah,
it was the interconnectability of the MCU, which is what, in my opinion, what makes the MCU so very difficult to topple.
Mm-hmm.
Is because every installment,
there's
an Easter egg for something else, or there's something connected, or there's, you know, Iron Man's in this one, or Thor's in the next one, and Spider-Man's in this. So it's kind of like you're getting an episode of the same story over and over, and that's why all those movies are so successful.
Yeah,
when you watch the Netflix shows, it almost goes out of its way, as we were talking before about not being superhero-ish, to kind of get away from the comic book aspect of it and to not take advantage of the landscape that they're building.
Yeah.
They're, you know, all that world building, they're all in the same city. They're all doing the same thing at the same time. Why aren't we seeing them all? Why aren't they all connected? Why are they going out of their way to kind of turn these superhero things into genre dramas? And that's, I think that's a waste. I think they've squandered something really good that they had
and
when it started. A lot of goodwill.
To ping pong over to DC, though, they've squandered it by just being, you know,
not
so
good.
Clumsy about everything they do at the same time. So I agree.
So
I think
blatantly trying to rip off the MCU instead of making their own thing.
And look, but at the end of the day, I think the Wonder Woman franchise is safe. I think
I think so.
I think comic book movies are safe.
I actually think Aquaman will do okay.
I think it's going to be very good.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. It looks some of the stuff I've seen, has been. It'll at least be a series of amazing visuals.
Yeah.
So that'll be something.
I agree with you. All right, I wanted to squeeze this one in. It's our last story of the day. Cops searching for a Ross from Friends lookalike suspected of theft. If you check it out, there's surveillance video in London of a guy robbing a liquor store. He looks exactly like David Schwimmer. So much to the point that police in Blackpool, England, were sorry to rule out David Schwimmer as a suspect. British authorities investigating a restaurant theft have ruled out David Schwimmer, even though Facebook users noticed the striking similarities. Thank you to everyone for your speedy responses, Blackpool police commented. We have investigated this matter and have confirmed David Schwimmer was in America on this date. We're sorry it had to be this way. Check out the video feed. I know this is radio for some folks, but if you go to secretsofthesire.com and restream the video, go to the very end and you will see it. That is an utter mistake.
That's an utter
mistake. No one told you it had to be this way.
No, it's an utter mistake. Obviously, David Schwimmer has a teleportation pod. Just obvious
Which
answer.
Would be the superpower of choice for
that would be my that would totally be my you. Superhero power. Yes.
So he showed up.
And so he's not only teleporting, but he's also robbing people. That's a great story.
Week. Again, I want to thank our guest, Richard Hamilton. Awesome stuff. Next week, it's Halloween. So that means the greatest horror movie, Rank'em, is going to be upon us. We are going to rank the top 20 horror films of all time. We'll probably get through three. Happy Halloween.
See, now that we've hung a lantern
and
on it,
potential mystery guest. We're trying to wrangle this mystery guest in. It's going to be pretty awesome. Governor's House up next.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.